I want to tell you about my father. He was not a very nice man, truth be told. And we had, to be charitable, a complicated relationship. And I think in a lot of ways we were probably mutually disappointing one to the other, because neither one of us were exactly the person the other sort of wanted them to be. And for me, my experience of my father was primarily an experience of disappointment. He was a great one for making promises. He was not such a great one for carrying through those promises. And one particular promise he made, he'd been making to me since I was 16 years old. When I was 16, my older brother died. In fact, that's who we had flowers for last week, Kenny White. And my father, his proudest accomplishment in his life was that he had bowled a perfect game. A 300, 12 strikes in a row. And it was like in 1974, and it was a big deal. It was in the newspaper. And in those days, the American Bowling Congress sent you a diamond ring. It was like this, like a class ring kind of looking thing, this big gold thing that said ABC on one side and 300, and it had sort of this, actually not a very big diamond, but this nice diamond in sort of a platinum setting, so it looked a little bigger, and it had some rubies around it. It was quite the thing. My dad always wore it. And whenever I would see him, he would say, "When I die, this ring is yours." Because it had been my brother's, of course. It was the patrimony that was being handed down. And so when he was gone, that left me. And so he would always promise me, and I would always say, "Dad, you know, I'm not really in any hurry to get your ring. So you hold on to it for now." But it was always promised to me. So for 35 years or so, he continued to promise this ring to me. And then he died. And I think mostly what I was angry. Because I was a little annoyed that he had went and died and we had left all this stuff unresolved. Anyway, so I'm at the funeral, and while we're at the funeral, I go to my stepmother and I said, "I'd like to get Dad's ring." And she said, "Oh, he left it to Bobby T. Friend of his that he had known for lots of years. They'd worked together in the past. And despite being promised for 30 years that I would get this ring, he gave it to somebody else. Because in the moment when he made the promise, he meant it. But it didn't stick." And so when the time came for him to kind of dispose of his possessions, I guess, he gave it to this friend of his. And all of my life's long disappointments and resentments and anger and all of that stuff crystallized in that one moment into hatred. I hated that man. And I thought to myself, in fact, I'm pretty sure I said it out loud, that even in death, his promises weren't worth crap. And this little nugget of cold hatred settled into my soul. And then a few months later, we found out Nikki was pregnant, my wife. And then we discovered a little bit after that that we were going to have a little boy, Patrick. I don't know if any of you have met Patrick, but he's like a steam train. That boy just like, you know, got energy out the yin yang. Anyway, we're having a son. And this created a sort of a crisis for me, because I'd had this terrible relationship with my father, and what I'd learned also is that my father had a terrible relationship with his father, and I'm betting my grandfather had a terrible relationship with his father. And so for generations in my family, we had had this inability for fathers and sons to find a way to be in healthy and mutually supportive relationship. And so now I'm having a son, and it's creating a great deal of anxiety for me. Because I have this little nugget of hatred sitting in my soul. I have this history that I've played out again and again and again in ways that I probably don't even know. And I'm worried because I don't want this to happen again. I don't want my son to have the relationship that I had with my father. I want something different. And so what I figured out was, and I, you know, I should have been able to figure this out much easier. I mean, I was already a priest by this time. This is only like, you know, 4 years ago. That I had to forgive. I had to forgive my father. Because if I was ever to make a change, I needed to get rid of that little nugget of hatred that I was carrying around, and I needed to break it up. And so I, with a lot of help and through a lot of prayer, I was able to take that and I gave it to Jesus. Because Jesus, as one of us, as walking the earth, he knew and experienced everything that we had experienced. And he knows our deepest griefs and our greatest fears and the things that are probably the things we truly hate. And he knows that and he's experienced it. And he is so much greater than us that he could take it on. And so I was able to get to a point where I could forgive. And by forgiving, it didn't say that all of the terrible things that I had hurt, had felt and experienced, the hurts that I had known, it wasn't to say that those things were okay. They weren't okay. And it wasn't to say that I'm going to pretend like those things never happened, because they did. But what it does mean is I don't have to carry the weight of those things around with me anymore. That forgiveness isn't about going to the person who transgressed against us and saying, what you did to me was okay and it doesn't matter. What it is saying is that my life moving forward from here doesn't have to be shaped by the experience, by what you did to me. And that forgiveness that Jesus is talking about isn't about saying it's okay. It's about taking those things and giving them to Jesus to carry so that we can be unburdened from them. This is kind of at the center of Christian life, and that it is difficult should not be a surprise to anyone. I'm going to go out on a limb here and suggest that everyone here has experienced something that has hurt them. Everyone here has carried around at some time or another some painful thing that is just so difficult to shake off. But Jesus offers us this opportunity to give those things away, to not have to carry them along. And we get to do it while also acknowledging that, yes, we were hurt. And those hurts, they matter. And Jesus is there to give us solace for those things too. That in the life of faith, because of the promises we are given, because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives through our baptism, we are empowered and able to give those things away. We can transcend the worst things that have been done to us. And we can move in a new way. We can be people of light, and not just the light that shines in the darkness, but the lightness of being lifted up. This is what forgiveness is really about. You know, and the funny thing is, I had counseled plenty of people on this before I myself had to do it, and it is hard. It is hard work, forgiveness. But I also know that it is worthy and worthwhile work. And that the results of our being able to forgive are really about ourselves. It's not about those people that we need to forgive. The forgiveness frees us from the things that hold us back from truly following God, from truly living in love and grace. And so this is a powerful tool that Jesus has given us, this ability to forgive, because it is the undoing of the evil in this world. When we are able to forgive, we mute the power of the darkness in our lives. And if we can all summon the courage and the will to forgive, then no evil can ever stand in our way. Amen.